Let's go! We ready? Woo! Let's go, baby. Dummies for Sports, here we go. My only Final Four team that's left is the one I had winning a national championship.
Who?
Miami.
Houston?
Miami.
Isn't that great? Wait, you ready for this, Morty? He had a one seed? Purdue?
A two seed?
Arizona?
And
it was this. When he told me his bracket, I was laughing. Dude, that's the best part about March Madness.
Only one seed I had on my entire bracket. The only two seed I had on my entire bracket got knocked out in the first round. What are the odds of that?
It's great. You're like, you think you beat the system? And then, first round, and your team that should have, completely won the whole tournament, maybe, just lost.
So true.
Like, I had Marquette in the Final Four, and I almost had them going all the way, and I'm so happy. Ooh. I didn't.
Yeah, I was similar to that as well with Marquette. Good move. So,
the only Final Four team that I don't think is going to win, I would have picked them to win, is Houston. But because they lost their conference tournament in, a not-such-strong conference. But, every other team, I feel like Marquette could have won, but obviously, they just ended. But, my other two teams, the teams I have in the championship, are UCLA and Alabama. I mean, Alabama's going to make it. Let's be real.
I think so, too.
Alabama's winning it all.
Is that a you?
I think UCLA. I'll tell you why I think UCLA. And it's a little bit of bias, it's true. But Maryland was as good as anyone in the country at home. And they were really bad on the road, we all know that. But they were really, really, really good at home. And UCLA, beat us by more points than Alabama just did. In Alabama, they beat us in Maryland.
Right.
True.
I mean,
that's judgment off the one team. Listen, there are some really good teams.
You have to play the best teams. You're in the NCAA tournament. It's not you can't get away with playing Memphis, every single game. I'm not saying Memphis is bad, but they're not in the same tier as
Right. So looking forward to the Sweet 16, right? So you have Kansas State playing Michigan State. A winner of that game alone could be the difference maker.
Yeah.
Like Kansas State, I'm saying Michigan State, if they win this game, okay, let's break it down, right? So if Michigan State beats Kansas State, Kansas State's a good team, they're a three seed. Michigan State could just have been, with Tom Izzo as a coach, they're automatically a good team. It's just how it is. So I was just listening to a podcast. Do you know that in his entire career, he's only had, four or five total lottery picks? Compared to Coach K's 26, 27 players, it's a whole different. So Michigan State could prove that they are a legit team and can easily just continue going right into and beat Alabama. They could be that team that upsets Alabama next round, or it would be in two rounds. Yeah, it'd be in the Final Four that they would meet.
It would be in the Final Four, I think.
Because FAU, Tennessee, Kansas State, Michigan State. I think that's the most loserish. Somehow, by the way, that turned in. I guess it was never a good a good area or bracket, like the Purdue, Kentucky,
Purdue
Marquette.
Purdue was really inconsistent.
That's what I'm saying. So that whole bracket, that whole section, that whole whatever you call it, the Midwest, whichever South or Midwest, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was the East. The East was just horrible. Compared to
keep on going. I'm gonna be in and out, but keep on going. Mm-hmm. We're good.
Okay. The compared to the South with Alabama, Maryland, the Virginia Furman game, But like every team in that, even Missouri, who lost, but like Princeton's just upsetting people. Like there's nothing you can do about that, right? Like what's happening?
Crazy of Princeton, like so, like yeah.
So hear me out. Princeton can make a real run into like not win it all because they'll never get past Bama next round. But like, there's no reason why they don't beat Creighton. There's no reason why they don't beat Creighton this week or no, whatever this weekend.
I mean, they could be Creighton, but
the same way they just beat. By the way, you know what it is, because they're from the Ivy League, so they never got up. They're overlooked to begin with. No one's gonna. So really, they really could just have a really good team put together. They get the 15 seed, but the way they beat Arizona and the way they beat Missouri, those are two real teams. They steamrolled them.
But they also were like, they weren't even the best team in Ivy League.
That's what I'm saying. That's what's so crazy. That like they won the style they're playing.
Like, lucky, but like Yale beat them twice, and they have to play them a third time, and that third time happened to also be in Princeton. So like, okay, it was a home game for Princeton, even though Yale was the better team. And yeah, okay, right. they split with them at home. But like, I mean, that's. Here's the thing, like, as much as, like, Maryland was very, like, fought very well against Alabama, like, you can see that they were on different levels. They just were, right? Alabama looked like an NBA team next to them. And, like, yeah. And the thing is Princeton gonna, like, match up better with a team like Alabama than Maryland? No. Maryland had a good big man. They had a bunch of people that were really good at threes the whole season. And so, like, could they beat Creighton? Yeah, maybe they could, but like, I don't know. I mean, they're not going to do anything to Alabama.
No. Princeton versus Alabama, I think it would be. I remember we were talking about in the chat that the women's bracket had a minus 50 and a half. Yeah. A 50 and a half player. That might be the Alabama Princeton line. Yeah. That really might be now, because you're talking about a team that. Actually has maybe the number one pick in the draft next year. And, I mean, no, the number one pick in the draft next year.
And in legal trouble.
Yeah, so Princeton, now, Creighton, by the way, won't either have a chance. Neither of them have a chance.
Creighton has more of a chance, though. Like, Creighton will come in like Maryland, right?
Right.
Like, Alabama's a better team, but, like, you know, they get a bounce their way, like I'm saying... You know, Maryland, even though it looked like Alabama was better, Maryland was still in the game for most of the game.
Oh, first half, for sure.
Yeah. It was in Alabama.
Right. Yeah. By the way, I was thinking about, like, if it's not in Alabama, what happens? It's still the same outcome, but you get a different style of being able to say, maybe we're not in foul trouble and we don't suck at shooting. That's the only difference.
Maryland, I think Maryland has at least.
Oh, I didn't say in Maryland though, but if we would be like good where the NCAA used to be, where we used to not allow home games in the tournament, like they used to really make sure there was no such thing as a home game in the tournament, or it was very rare. You had a real home game, and the number one seed getting a home game, like what are we doing?
Yeah.
That was just a big mistake. It's silly. I get it. They're just gonna they're either way gonna roll through. So let them go roll through the way it should be somewhere else. But other than that, I mean, I think, see, there's not many teams left that you could be like, yeah, they have a real chance. Because Alabama will come out of one side, right? Most likely into the Final Four there.
Most likely.
And then most likely it's probably going to be the winner. Honestly, the winner of Kansas State, Michigan State will probably come out of the Final Four to the Final Four from there over FAU and Tennessee. Tennessee, every time they step on the court, another player gets hurt. And FAU is just a team that's chucking threes and shouldn't even have beaten Memphis in the first game. Yep. And they got lucky by playing FAU in the second. But what's with teams from – that's what it is. Teams from New Jersey. Last year, it was Oral Roberts – not Oral Roberts. Who was it last year? It was that random team. But this year, it was FAU and Princeton, all these New Jersey teams. I mean, New Jersey's on a roll, baby. But no, but, you know, so it really comes down to, on the other side, UConn. the one team I really overlooked this year, I really thought UConn was like going to get bounced in the first. That big upset, I'm like, yeah, UConn's not. And all of a sudden, UConn's like, oh, yeah, we remember how to play basketball. And they're coming alive. They're steamrolling team. I thought that
organization also. They always are contenders in the men and women. Also, they just
correct. No, the women's they're it's one of the greatest
a different level,
obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah. But no, like I thought St. Mary's would actually put up a fight, and it wasn't a fight. It was ugly. It got ugly quick.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much confidence I had in St. Mary's. I mean, I did pick UConn, but obviously you don't have to pick a score. But, like, I don't know, like, when it comes down to it in, like, the tournaments and the big games, it comes down to coaching so much. That's why, like you said, like, Michigan State is so dangerous. They were not a top five team in the Big Ten this year. But when it comes down to it, when you're at this stage, it's really about coaching a lot. That's why Duke was always good. Always. It didn't matter who they had. They were always good. And Michigan State is always good. And, like, Connecticut is one of those teams, like, when you look at St. Mary's, like, they're not, like, you know, they're not, like the big, they're not a team that everyone writes down as, like, a favorite in the tournament. Like, every year you have to think about certain teams, right? You have to think about Kansas every year. You have to think about, you know, even North Carolina was garbage this year. You have to think about North Carolina, right?
Duke.
There's teams you just have to think about. And, like, St. Mary's is not one of those teams, you know? It doesn't matter.
That is the only time you ever hear about their team is in the tournament. Like, they are a tournament team. They literally, they don't, you don't, I don't think I've ever turned on the TV this year and was like, oh, it's a St. Mary's game. Let me sit down and watch. Never. It was never even a St. Mary's game. I just never turned on TV to see. So, I've seen almost all the other schools.
They're in California.
I watch sports at, like, we're talking about even late night sports, but I guess my point is they're not on ESPN. They're never on. I've seen every college. They're not on ever on any of the networks. So the only time I do hear of St. Mary's, and that's why I'm like, oh, St. Mary's, yeah, that's right, with St. Mary's. It's just me being me and thinking like, oh yeah, they're a March Madness team, and they're not. They're just a team that you hear about getting bounced every year early.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. So let's think. So that was it. Oral Roberts. I think it was Oral Roberts, by the way, who was a 15 seed last year. It just happens to be this year they were a 12 seed.
Yeah. When I was growing up, when they made the tournament, were always the 16 seed, always. And when they had one play-in game where only the last ranked 16th team would play, it would regularly be Oral Roberts against like Iona. And now. You have Iona was ranked like an 11 seed or something this year, right? Something like that, and Oral Roberts is a team like it's like these teams were always like 11, were always like 16 and 15 seeds. They were never higher. I mean,
yeah,
they're starting to take those conferences a little more seriously.
Well, it's part of the NIL where they're, you know, I think the talent is getting spread out more across. The game allowing, like, that's why I think, you know, the number one player in the country is not on Duke or on North Carolina this year because he's like, I can go here and get more money or I can go.
But Alabama is a powerhouse sports team, obviously more football, but I'm saying, like, let's not pretend
it's
like.
Shocker when he signed with them.
But I'm saying, like, but let's not pretend like, you know, like he's playing for like North Dakota State. You know what I mean? Like he's still playing for a big sports school.
See, the teams that get hurt by the whole thing is like Gonzaga because they're big, but they're not in the big. They're not big.
They're also a tiny school.
Yeah, well, I'm aware.
I mean, like I remember they were talking about when one year I picked them and they made the finals and they lost, and they were talking about like in their online and in person learning, they have like 2,000 people.
So last year it was St. Peter's who upset Kentucky as a 15th seed.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, it was not Oral Roberts, but yeah, I totally agree. I mean, by the way, the reason why I picked Gonzaga in our bracket to win is because every year everyone picks Gonzaga to win, and then they get bounced. And then this year they don't have a good team. They win their conference. They obviously win their conference as they do, and then it's like, Oh, that's not their team. They still have Timmy, bro. They still have the man. Like they're not. They're still good.
I mean, yeah, they're a good team, but like
UCLA, it's one team. If they can get past UCLA, they're in. There's no one beating them.
Wait. One second. Okay, so right now, right, they're playing UCLA, and then
it's Arkansas versus UConn.
Yeah. Okay. Let's assume that they're in the Final Four if they do that. Even though I think that Connecticut or Arkansas's been playing very good right now.
And now that thing on, like, both can really beat them.
Yeah. But then look in the Midwest, right? You have Texas. I mean, Texas destroyed Kansas in their conference tournament.
Yeah.
And then they won, you know, they obviously beat the 15 seed, and then, you know, they beat Penn State, not by a ton, but they did win. You know, like, and Houston's a very good team, but Houston, I mean, I have Houston's more faith in Texas. I think, yeah, I mean, I did pick, I think I picked them in my Final Four. I think I picked Houston in my Final Four, but I did. But, like, now that I'm seeing, like, what they're doing, like, I do think that Texas is going to come out of that side. Like,
right.
I would be shocked if Texas doesn't come out. And that would be a very hard game for Gonzaga also.
It would be a very hard game for both Gonzaga and UCLA. Either UCLA. Both of them are going to have to go through UConn, yeah. Arkansas. I've been calling Arkansas all day.
Arkansas.
I can't. And I've been doing it all day. Miami versus Houston. By the way, Miami too is a threat just like anyone else. Listen, if you beat Houston, you're a threat. That's the bottom line. And I'll say this. So someone was saying that he thinks Houston's been on like cruise control. So like they're not showing their true colors because they've just been like, oh, we got a 16 seed, and then they got the Auburn matchup, which like it was in Auburn, and they smacked them. So. Yeah. I think they're in cruise control, and
but they also weren't in. They weren't in a very powerful conference again, and they lost in their conference championship.
Like, that's true.
Like, what call, like, if they do that there, like, can they beat UCLA?
Right?
Can they beat Texas? Can they beat Alabama? I mean, they can because it's in front of them. But that's basically where it ends. I'm saying they're. You know, you flip a coin five times, you'll land on tails five times with this one. You know? Like,
It's true. You know, we keep saying, by the way, that Alabama's gonna become the auto win here. I'm just saying, all I've been saying before the tournament was Mountain West teams do not go anywhere in the tournament. And here we have San Diego State in the Sweet 16. Yeah. And possibly a chance at making history of this is the farthest a Mountain West team will go if they win. So there's definitely like a motivation fire under the butt for them because by the way they I mean, you talk about the luckiest team, like this is something that I see. We all love an upset in the tournament, right? But then you get to the next round and you're like, oh, we have to see like this team play a trash team, and it's like, oh, and then like they don't come out firing, like Fairly Dickinson, they didn't come out firing, like, oh, they put up a cute fight in the first half, but like then it was over after that. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know. I guess it's just part of it, but it's part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're a good team, though. I mean...
Where did you have Virginia going this year?
Virginia, I had losing to Furman.
I'm glad we both did. That's fun. Yeah. We did, but...
No, we're the only ones.
I know, I really didn't understand. I'm like... Well, okay, we watch enough ball, but like if you watched one Virginia game, not even watch a half of a half of Virginia ball this year, and you'd be like, that's not Virginia's team. That is not the Virginia team that's going to make it. And then like Furman was just a team that was known that they just throw up the three ball, and they could defend. So it was like, let's see if Furman can just throw up the three ball, and they did.
Yeah.
So that's ooey. That's really much it, but. Oh, we totally left out Xavier. Is it Xavier or Xavier? How would you pronounce Xavier?
I say Xavier.
I know I also do, but I heard today that they need Xavier, and I'm like, it's not Xavier? What's the whole point of the eggs?
Well, like xylophone. It's the same. It's the same
thing. I know, word. But that's also a stupid word. I don't think I've ever used that word in my life. I just say xylophone, but it's xylophone. Anyway, listen. This is the part of the tournament where if you tried to make a perfect bracket from here out, you would be wrong. Not only would you probably get more than 50% wrong.
I don't think so.
I put the money down. You would get more than 50% of your picks wrong from here out in a Sweet 16 bracket, because all it takes is the simple, you know, Miami to win or.
Okay, wait. Let's throw out like the not gonna happens. Okay,
Alabama was winning.
Okay, Bama's winning.
Creighton is winning. Can we just put it out there? Creighton's winning.
Great. Creighton is winning.
Bama's winning. Beating Creighton. So that's one team.
Okay, then you have Tennessee, Florida Atlantic. I wouldn't guarantee that Tennessee is gonna win, but I'm pretty sure they're gonna win.
But that's what I'm saying. That can happen. Right, that's something that can happen.
Right. I mean, that could go wrong. Certainly, right? I can't guarantee that they would win. That could go wrong. Okay. Michigan State, I think, is going to win, but I
could be wrong.
I could be wrong. Exactly. Right. That one I could also be wrong.
But now you have three picks wrong if you get one of those wrong.
One second. Wait. Gonzaga, UCLA. Again, I think UCLA, but I could be wrong. You Connecticut, Arkansas. I think again, Connecticut could be wrong.
But that's like you're not wrong. Like Arkansas is good, but like they're not UConn.
We'll accept that. Okay, fine. So far, I have three that I'm for sure getting right. Texas, Penn State. Texas is winning. Texas Xavier. Texas is winning. They're winning. They're a much better team. They really are.
Yeah, and then it is a 2-3 seed game, so anything is still flipping.
It is, but they're not. The seed is way closer than the reality.
Correct. The whole 64 is like that. Yeah.
I mean, Texas literally beat Kansas by 20 points.
Sick. It's sick.
Like, okay, so Texas, I won't concede that I could be wrong. And Houston, Miami, look, I love Miami. They're a good team. They're not beating Houston.
No.
They're not.
Okay. So where are we at? We're at one, but now you're back down to the Elite Eight. So now you're at you have Houston versus Texas. Go. Gotta get that right.
Oh, right. Okay, fine. Houston, Texas. I think Texas is probably gonna win. I could be right, could not, obviously, but pretty sure Texas is gonna win.
Texas beats Houston. So now I have Texas in the Final Four.
Yeah. I mean, I put Houston in my Final Four, but I think I'm wrong.
Right. Okay, then you have UConn playing UCLA.
Okay, I mean, UCLA is going to win that game.
Yeah, UCLA probably wins that game as well. You have Michigan State playing Tennessee. That's literally a flip of a coin. Just because Tom Izzo himself is a flip of a coin at that point.
Which one?
Tom Izzo is a flip of a coin at that point.
I think Michigan State wins.
Actually, so this was the stat. Tom Izzo, I think, only has one loss in tournament play on day two, like on the flip of the day two. Isn't that crazy? Like if he wins round 64, he's guaranteed to win 32. If he's winning 16, he's winning 8. Like one time in like a crazy story game that once happened, and they're talking about it. But so I honestly agree with you that if Michigan State beats Kansas State, they're gonna beat Tennessee FAU winner for sure. So. Yeah.
Okay.
So now you have two teams. Okay, and you have Alabama. So that's your four teams right now. All it takes, though, to get 50% wrong, is my point is, if Gonzaga wins, you now have a Final Four team missing. You now have just canceled out everything, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm losing two games, but I have way more than that.
But I'm saying at the end of the day, it's you see what I'm saying when you're like, even wait till the elite and then be like, yeah, let me get a perfect bracket. It's still so hard. It's still, it even go. So last year as a joke, I was like, oh, I could do it from the Final Four. And I was still wrong. So, you know, like, it's one game. You got to guess one. I couldn't even get the first game right of the Final Four, whatever it was. But I think, like, see, this is why it bothers me. I don't get why ESPN and all the apps and the Yahoos and all these, they don't, like, start a whole new bracket. Like, allow another bracket challenge over this week. I think that's so much fun. Like, allow people to go at it. Make them pay. Make some money.
Yeah. I mean, it would definitely be a smart thing, but, like...
Oh, put it in the chat. I'm going to put it in the chat before you.
It's sort of like live betting. It's sort of like live betting odds, right? Yeah. They've been doing that for the XFL a lot also because the over-unders have been so much higher than people expect. So much lower than people expect them to be. They keep on lowering and lowering it. And then I was watching a game on Sunday where they put it at like 60 because the original over-under was like 37. So, you know, like they have all these, it dramatically changes. Just like after the round of 64, it dramatically changes who you would pick. And then someone might win the challenge. Like if you started in round of 32, it might be a little more realistic. Mostly nobody can get out of the round of 64 to begin with.
Yeah, I mean.
So someone said to me, he's like, I saw someone had a perfect bracket. He was filling it out as it goes.
That's definitely a way to get a high score. But I'm saying, you know, like, I mean, the first round is it feels the best because you get these upsets. Like, I was feeling like in the clouds when Furman beat Virginia, and like everyone picked Virginia other than you and me.
Yep.
And like, it was just, you know, it was just us, you know, like, and I don't know, like it, you don't, I feel like the reality is the further you get along, the less upsets you have.
Yeah. But still, it's not even upsets. It's the fact that you just picked wrong. It's not even upsets that happened. It's the fact that you just picked wrong thing.
I actually think that Princeton really is the better team over Arizona, obviously. Right, they played a better game, but they weren't seeded wrong, right? If they seeded Princeton as a 2 and Arizona as a 15, you would say that's ridiculous, right?
Correct.
Okay, so no, it wasn't seeded wrong. It is an upset.
It comes down to coaching. It comes down to a game plan. The fact is that when a 15 or a 16 or a 14 seed win, usually it's because they came in with the right game plan. They did something correct, and then
they were overlooked.
And not even overlooked, but yes. The other team came in. Yes, the other team overlooked them. The 1, 2, 3 seats overlooked these teams, and they just get walked on. It's very rare that like they went the style of gameplay that the number 1, 2, 3 team wants and wins. You don't play Alabama style basketball and think you're gonna go beat Alabama. You're just not. You play their style. That's like. And that was a big thing. Maryland did that in the first half where they were playing almost a Maryland-style ball, but they couldn't keep Reese on the floor. They couldn't score. The ball just wasn't coming in the basket no matter what happened.
We're not doing a lot of threes and stuff like that.
Right. So at the end of the day, there were other issues, but in the second half, Alabama got to their play, and Alabama played Alabama ball, and we got rocked. So same thing happens. I think, by the way, going to be the biggest – difference maker in the UCLA Gonzaga game. Both those teams will just take the ball and will play their style, and you're gonna have two styles of basketball going on in one. Because the way that Gonzaga play, they get to their spot, they make the basket. UCLA plays like, we are just gonna just roll over you, just sort of like Tennessee does. Tennessee does it the same way. They're Tennessee might be like that team. Who was like the dirtiest team I can think of in past years? That like people is like infamously like dirty team Duke with Grayson Allen, Duke with Grayson Allen when he would just like trip people. That's what Tennessee does. You watch that game the other day against Duke. Poor Duke. Like Duke is like nowadays is like a nice organization and they have some nice players and all a bunch of freshmen. By the way, that's by the way the biggest issue. They're just a bunch of freshmen. So you end up with and they're all a bunch of nice kids, and all of a sudden Tennessee came in bullying them, and you're like, whoa, you can't bully Duke.
Gen Z.
Yeah, shout out Gen Z. Coach K retired, you know, he thought it'd be nice to them.
Right, that's another thing. If Coach K was the coach, even of these little kids at Duke today, they still would have won the Tennessee
game. Tom Izzo. That's why Tom Izzo. Yeah. Rocky, did you hear this Tom Izzo stat? Were you here for the Tom Izzo stat before?
I was not. I don't know if you
heard. The Tom Izzo stat is that I think he may have never, or it only happened one time, where if he won the round of 64, he automatically won the round of 32. If he won the 16, he won the 8. He never, on a day's rest, lost the game. How He's long? Always got his guys How ready to Tom, play. Another.
How long has Tom Izzo been the coach for? I mean, I know for a few decades.
Since 1995.
Gee, that's crazy. Even Coach
every Kane, year he has championships.
He has three.
Yeah, I'm saying. Right. The guy wins.
Yeah. No. By the way, so this podcast I was listening to, they were saying that, like, at the end of the day, if you look up who has won a championship, a lot of coaches come up. But check up who's won two, and you're like, okay, all of a sudden you just filtered out so many names, and you're like, okay, hey, hold on, but wait, and then you hit that three mark, and you're like, oh, that's an elite list. It starts getting elite at that point. So yeah, there's a reason why he's not been fired. Calipari's probably out the door in the next year or two because he was terrible. What's called for North Carolina's they're struggling. They're still. I mean, he's Roy is Roy Williams even their coach anymore? Is he on the
No. He's not. Yeah, I don't know who their coach is, but it's
disaster. It's disaster.
It's definitely not Roy Williams or Dean Smith.
No. So, they're saying Tom Izzo. Other than Tom Izzo, Rick Pitino is the only other guy technically from that generation of coaches. And we have flipped the new script, and we're going to find out over the next couple of years which of these coaches is capable of just winning tournaments. They're just going to have there will be a guy. Because, listen, March Madness, I would say 80% of winning the tournament comes from the coaching. Like, being able to keep your guys under – you guys are just a bunch of 18, 19-year-old guys just playing ball. That's all they know how to do. But keeping them in a cool rhythm – not letting them get too tired, not letting them get ahead of themselves. Think about it. When you have like 7 seconds left to go in a game, usually with like, and you're down like seven, game's over in most games. In March Madness, it's not over. And like, you have to like control your guys. Like, guys, I know it's 7 seconds and we're down seven, but like, if he misses the free throw and we hit a three and get the all, and then they get a steal, hit another three, we're in the game.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then you're like, oh, that's not possible. And then Virginia throws the ball away to Furman, who hits the craziest shot, and you're like, wait, what just happened?
Ever done.
No. It's not as stupid. By the way, it's not as stupid as Fab Five calling a timeout. So that will always go down as the stupidest thing to ever go down in March Madness is calling
a timeout. Going into the other team when you're up two.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid. He just threw the ball. As the guy said, he just threw the ball.
And he had the lead.
The only other thing I've seen in basketball was J.R. Smith grab an offensive rebound and not shoot it again with like no time left. But that was because he had a mental fart. Well, this guy missed the clock.
That's different. You know, like, I mean, you could get into like JaVale McGee stuff, you know, but like that's a whole other.
The crazy part is this guy also was a good foul shooter. Like, it's not like, oh, try to get a better.
Take the shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
it's pretty
you're
bad.
Gonna give them the ball when you have the lead with 7 seconds left. Like, and like, if you're chucking it, Charles Barkley after the game, he said, if you're gonna throw it out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is that guy hit that shot, and that was a crazy shot.
It was a crazy shot, but he also
wide open, wide open, but it was deep. It was a moment, and he came through. He was like, "I am hitting that."
Yep,
so, first it. I got all that. I'm trying to think. See, I'm looking at the first round. Most of these guys, most teams that are still around, in one of the rounds they struggled, and then the other round they crushed most of them.
So, I mean. So
Gonzaga is struggling.
Yeah, Gonzaga is
struggling. As we speak, 9 seed Miami upsets 1 seed Indiana to reach women's Sweet 16. Not that we care, but it's just because we do have our bracket.
Yeah.
So that's another 1 seed down. I had 1-1-1-1-1, I think, in the final four. So
you had Maryland.
Maryland, and then 3-1
seed. Don't that one, because unfortunately South Carolina is gonna, like, I mean,
yeah,
I
you're wrong.
Yeah, I would love. But
like, said, hey, it's March. Anything's possible.
I also think they stuck Maryland in the wrong bracket. Like, Maryland should not be with the number one overall seed. They were the best number two.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. Yeah.
Like, I think that they would have. I think that Maryland would have lost in the championship to South Carolina if they were in a different bracket.
Like, see, right. So I guess my question is, I guess my real question is this: like, how does Iowa not, like, Caitlin Clark is great, and then, like, then they don't end up getting one seeds, and then they end up getting upset in, like, somewhere.
Yeah.
But dude, she pulled up from the logo. Just pulled up from the logo the other night. Like, it was nothing. And I was like, Steph, you really ruined basketball. No, by the way, Steph Curry ruined March Madness. That's what they're talking about today. Also, people are like, yo, Steph really ruined March Madness. But at the same time,
remember Curry's March Madness?
Yes. But no, they're saying because of his three ball. But wait, it gets better. First of all, it was a Final Four run, and that's where it died. Or was it Elite Eight?
No, he made it to the Final Four.
The Final Four run? Yeah, it was pretty crazy. By the way,
he made it to the final.
What?
Georgia Tech was like a 10 seed, and they made it to the finals.
With who? Who was on that team?
I think they had Gordon Hayward.
You know who was very good? Speaking of 15 seed, the first 15 nine on the set. Steve Nash was the first 15 seed to win a game, to win, followed by CJ McCollum, who was the second. let's see. And then you have just a bunch of randoms. But I was thinking, like, big names in NBA are not big names in college, usually, at the end of the day. Like, you have very few heroes from college basketball who made that transition. Who?
Tyler Hansbrough.
Correct.
I mean, the guy was unstoppable in college.
Exactly.
Kemba Walker.
But Kemba Walker had a hot streak in college, and Kemba Walker also, like, is a role player in the NBA, right? I'm saying he had a couple of
good games. By the way,
you know, never anything crazy. Tyler Hansbrough was the best of the best. Like,
Dougie McBuckets? Remember him?
Dougie McBuckets?
That's what they called him. That's what they called him, Dougie McBuckets. I can't even remember his real name. Doug McDermott. Doug McDermott.
Oh, okay.
Doug McDermott from BYU.
Yeah.
Yes.
He also didn't turn out to be such a great NBA player, but he was star in the March Madness.
Guys that become great at college players because they stuck around for 2, 3, 4 years. They got coached into the college how to win college correctly. That's why Tom Izzo has three, because something that we discussed earlier was he only has a very few players who become lottery picks. He doesn't get lottery picks. Lottery picks nowadays are 18, 19-year-olds who come in for 1 year, 2 years max, and are out. Tom Izzo's guys stick around for 3, 4 years and win themselves a championship. Yep.
Exactly. If you're playing 3, 4 years, chances are you're not that good.
Or, but you can win yourself a natty tidy.
100%. But it still stands that you're not, like, you're just not good enough to be a one year or skipping college altogether. I'm saying the difference between playing 1 year in college and playing 4 years is not because you want to win a national title, right? Right. Everyone would rather be in the NBA than win a national title in college, right? I said, like, everyone, no matter as nice as it is to win a national title, every single person who would do it would rather play in the NBA if they could only choose one, right? Of course. So if you're gonna play 1 year,
unless you go to Princeton,
what?
Unless you go to Princeton, you'll make more money than NBA players doing something else.
Yeah, if you're all look, or you could be Carmelo, right? Who goes in 1 year, wins the championship, and then drafts. And has a good NBA career.
That was Syracuse was nuts. That was a year.
I bet my friend I picked Kansas in the championship over Syracuse. And like Kansas was like loaded. They were just a much better team. And like Carmelo just like completely took over in that game. Like,
I mean, he got himself into a top and it became Carmelo. That's when, yeah. I mean, Melo was Melo, but then he became Melo. Like, that was real.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know who's going to be, you know, next year? I'm looking forward to it again because it's going to be in the Big Ten as well. Andrew Funk, just the name itself is so much like when he went crazy, what he is 8 for 10 from three in game one. He plays for Penn State. And he's just, I think he's going to be so excited next year because he's going to torch Maryland. He's just one of those guys that, like, next year is going to be, like, the biggest talked about guy.
You know who's insane in Maryland who's going to torch everyone? Reese.
I hope so. I really hope so. First of all, can we be honest? There's not an NBA talent yet behind him. Like, there's not NBA talent behind Reese.
No. He's too small to be a center, and he doesn't have a shot.
So he can win himself a national title.
What?
He should win himself a national title.
I mean, yeah. And by the way, while he's doing that, he could develop a jump shot.
Yeah.
And then he could play forward in the NBA. But you cannot play forward in the NBA and not be
able to. Jump shot.
Yeah. And, like, his free throw is bad. He plays like Shaq, but he's half a foot shorter and a lot smaller. Like, it doesn't work.
And weighs about 100, 200 pounds less. Yeah.
And they even criticize Shaq.
Right.
You know, like even Shaq dropping 40 a game, grabbing 20 boards a game, plugging up the hole, they still criticize his free throw ability all the time.
Correct.
Like, what are you doing? The guy's the best player in the NBA right now, and it's not even close. Like,
right.
You know, the guy who voted for Iverson for MVP that year lost his job. There's one person in the voting, right? Shaq would have been unanimous, but one person voted for Iverson and he lost his job.
Why did he vote for Iverson? It's like
his argument was that they were both insane, but if you take Shaq away, you still have a rising Kobe. And if you take Iverson away, they don't make the playoffs.
But it doesn't matter.
So clearly the best player in the NBA by far. Like, he's the most valuable player to the NBA right now. If you want to see, if you want to go to Europe and see people in jerseys, they're wearing Shaq jerseys in 2001. That's who they're wearing. Like, yeah. he was the Michael Jordan of the early 2000s, right? Every time, you know, and then Kobe, obviously, and LeBron and whatever, right? But I'm saying Shaq was that guy who brought basketball to the world in the early 2000s. And, like, they criticized his free throw ability. So, like, Julian Reese, you got to work on your free throw ability if you're trying to play forward. He can't play
forward. Just work on, like, just put your hands up, man. You're straight up. No, straight up.
And he's honestly I thought that some of the foul calls were bad against Alabama.
But he's stupid.
What? Some of them were not. And he did, you're right, he did stupid things. And, like, the play where he got fouled out, where he's clearly the best player at this point on Maryland, and he's the last chance, like we were down 7, and he fouls out. Like, the guy was going up for a layup. He wasn't going to miss
the shot. Just let him get the layup.
Yeah. And he hit it anyway. And then he went to the line. And Reese is out. Like,
it was at that moment that also I kind of stopped watching. Literally, as soon as he fouled out and the guy hit out, I was like, oh, we're done.
I mean, he's young. Fundamentally, yeah, but he was, even if he had all the skills, he fundamentally cannot play in the NBA right now anyway. He still needs at least another year in college. But, like, if he grows a jump shot and, you know, and gets a bit smarter, and, you know, get some foul trouble less and stuff like that next year.
Right.
Is he going to
leave? My fear is he's going to transfer out somewhere. That is my biggest fear. Because now everyone's
built around him. Maryland has good recruits coming in.
I know they do, but that's but players these days, it's like almost like the players that are college lifers and they're just bouncing. Some of these guys are just, they learned that like they could just bounce around colleges, having the time of their lives, playing the game they love, and then after 4 years, it's over, and they just free rode college. No, the guys, I'm talking about like the guys that don't go to the NBA. The guys that know.
You don't think that Reese right now is saying to himself, my end goal is the NBA. I want to play the
NBA. Well, guess what? Right now, there's no NBA in sight for him. Like none.
But he has to stay in Maryland. He has to be the guy on a team that's built for him. Right? That's how he will look the best. If he goes
to
Alabama or Duke or a place that gets a million top star recruits every year,
he'll come off the bench for Duke.
Right. Or reality is, right, he would be the starting forward for Duke. Right? But at the very least, there would be other people who, even if they're not better for him, are at his level, right? Yeah. Maryland knows if he's in foul trouble right now, they have to put him back in anyway because they're going to lose too many points by not having him on the floor.
Yeah, right. I mean, your hope is next year you bring in someone who can help out with that because that's ridiculous.
And also, all of our other good players were seniors.
This year.
Right. So I'm saying they're gone next year.
Saying... You're going to need it.
He was a senior. Hart is gone. He was a senior. Dante Scott, gone. He was a senior. Other than Reese, who else is there? We didn't even play bench players this year. We basically had a seven-man team.
Our starting five accounted for what? 70% of our scoring this year?
At least.
70%. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So... Yeah. Coach gets.
I mean, and we like it worked until it didn't, obviously, and you know.
Listen, you have to have your head up as a Maryland fan because everyone knows being the 8-9 seed is tough, but winning that first game is so big as an 8-9 seed because you're going up against a team that's officially ranked about the same on the flip side of you. If you're the 9 seed or 8 seed, it's on the flip side.
Yeah,
8-19 is the same thing. So you know that's a huge win. And then you screwed because you got to go play. You hope that you get to play your FAU and you get to play. You know you're like, oh, we have to play Purdue, and then you get FDU, whatever it is. Yeah. But I'm very happy as a Maryland fan that our coach for the first time ever got us into a tournament in his first year. I'm happy that our coach actually. In the first game against West Virginia, needed to make X and O's changes, and all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, we can't do this because we're Maryland," and it's been so long since like a coach came in mid game and was like, "Yo, do this," and we're like, and we did some things different, which was nice to see. So the future is bright. The future is so bright for Maryland.
Yeah. But the problem with college is your window to build on that is so short. I mean. Again,
but once again, it's the coaching staff. You have the right coaching staff, you get the players. The players come with the coaching staff. By the way, I just think Under Armour has to find the number one recruit in the country and just offer him more money than anyone else does, and then Under Armour and Maryland would just guarantee themselves the best team. I'm just saying. It's that. If you want to talk about solutions, that's your solution. Under Armour has to step in.
Maryland, that's up to
Under Armour. No, I didn't say Maryland. I said Under Armour has to step in here and we can have the number one.
They gotta get Bronny.
No, that's okay. Keep him over there. I said the number one team. No, happens to be, by the way, Bronny's younger brother, who's younger than him, is even taller than Bronny now. He's like 6'9", 6'8", and he's tall and strong. Listen, I would not be shocked if LeBron's kids are all both in the NBA. LeBron's kids are both. I mean, it's LeBron, dude. He's building these kids from start to be that way.
Yeah,
Shaq's kid today would be in the NBA if not for the health issues.
So I'm just saying, right? There was, you know, Keon Lattimore is. Ray Lewis's younger brother.
Okay.
Right. So he played in Maryland, like 20 years ago.
Obviously.
Right?
Football or basketball? He played basketball.
Football.
Okay.
So Ray Lewis's son who he named, like, he also named, like, Keon Lattimore or something, but it was Ray Lewis's oldest son. He played in Miami. And, right. like, everyone's like, oh, you know, it's Ray Lewis's son, he's gonna be beast, right? All that, whatever, right? The guy wasn't even a starter as a senior.
Nope. I'm very aware. It's a lot different. The football and basketball is a lot different.
But the kids of athletes are not always, you know. I mean, look, I understand. Like Archie Manning and your kids are Peyton and Eli, right? But, you know, but like more often than not.
Not his parents. His uncles are Peyton. I don't know if he said uncles or parents. His uncles are Peyton.
Archie Manning.
Right. His uncles are Peyton and Eli.
Arch Manning is. Archie Manning is the grandfather. Archie Manning is the dad.
Arch Manning is the brother. Yeah, yeah, okay, okay. I thought you said Arch. Okay. I mean, it's Arch.
Yeah.
They're both Archie. It's Archie and Archie.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously named after him. But, like, think about the fact that you have three generations, right, of quarterbacks in that family. Yeah. I mean,
and you would have had, by the way, you would have had probably a top receiver as from the third brother.
Yeah. He got hurt.
If he didn't have an accident, right? He got an accident, he got hurt, whatever it was. But
Arch is his kid. It's his kid. So, like, he obviously has some, like, you know, the fact that he never played in the NFL in the end, you know, I mean, his kid still has, like, some serious Manning genes, obviously. Like, that's another thing. Like, the Mannings, yeah, they came in their rookie year and didn't do well. But, like, they literally, like, started game. Like, Eli started, like, game six his rookie year. Peyton started game one. And, like, they basically, like, their second year, they were already, like, good quarterbacks.
Okay, now that we're on this other topic of other sports, other much mass, real quick. And I brought this up to Rocky earlier, and Rocky destroyed the conversation. I told him this. I can't even have the conversation. I don't even know if he's listening to this. Uh-oh. He'll be laughing when he runs this back. He's going to laugh. Either way, let me ask you this. Can you imagine? Now, this is not deep. This is surface level garbage. Imagine if every championship in history of sports flipped the winner right now, today, right? What would happen? Now, let me give you some examples. What would it look like? Brady would be 3-7 in Super Bowls, right? Yeah. But one of those three would be an undefeated season. So you're like, oh, this guy lost Super Bowl 7 times, but he's got undefeated with 3 of them. Wait, Jordan would be 0-6.
Yeah.
Wait, Bill Russell would be 11 losses.
Yeah, 1-11.
1-11, and LeBron might be just the GOAT. LeBron would just, what, 6? He'd have 6, and so it completely
John Havlicek would be 0-8.
Chip Kelly would be the GOAT because he'd have 4 straight.
That's true.
Right? You know, and when the guy said, it was a clip I saw on Instagram, I was like, that is so, I gotta find, and I started going through it. I'm like, this is so crazy. This is like, there's the amount of things you can come up with of like different players that would be like, it would just be different. Craziest world.
Players would also play right. Players would play for different teams. And so like a Super Bowl matchup that you could pick the loser, both those teams could have never made the Super Bowl. You know, like,
it's first championship games, but just the fact, like, to think about Chip Kelly could be 4-0 while MJ is 0-6. In what world? What the world would be so? Yeah. I mean, it would just be different. It would just be different. It would be weird. Rocky got very deep into it, and Rocky was like, oh, football and basketball is different. You have to look at the player individually. And I was like, Rocky, it's a surface-level garbage statement.
Yeah,
but it's a cool statement. It's a thought.
Yeah. I mean, you also have to, like, what about, like, the outrageous ones, right? Like, are we going to say that, like, does it extend to college? Like, do you have, like, Alabama losing to, like...
Yeah. Oh, you have a Kentucky undefeated season. You get yourself a Kentucky undefeated season out of it.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's a little.
You have some crazy moments. I'm looking and trying to think. If you use college, you go crazier, but and you go football, it's well, yeah, the world would, I mean, the world would be different if you bring college sports into this, but I mean, the fact is that no team's done undefeated, so as a team, maybe someone has not. I'm just being
there has been being... college teams who have Illinois, I think, I believe.
In the well, with what's his name as coach? Let's see, NC has a NCAA basketball team gone undefeated. Hasn't seen a perfect season since the 75-76 Hoosiers.
Okay. Right, you have.
Wow. This year was the longest we went.
It was Kareem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. UCLA would have all those losses.
Yeah, it was Kareem. It was also because of Kareem. Like, no one was beating that. And then, right, the San Francisco in 95-56, I think that was Will. I think. But the UCLA ones, here, all together, the UCLA ones are Kareem. Like, Kareem went like 3 years.
All of them are, yeah, yeah. I remember. I mean, I don't remember those. I remember that, right, that from the histories.
In the 70s, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. Like,
think wait, about that. Oh, I see.
It's happened 7 times, and 4 of them have been UCLA, and 3 of them have been.
Who was on that Tar Heels team? What?
I don't know. It was 56, 57. I don't know.
Probably yeah, no, but I was thinking about it on top of that. No, this year was the farthest the team has gone, I think, since 75, 76, undefeated, and they didn't even make the tournament.
Oh, wait, no, Illinois was undefeated in a tournament, I think, a couple years back. And then they lost in the championship, I think.
No, it was Kentucky. Kentucky was undefeated a bunch of years back, and they lost in the final.
But
with the Harrison twins.
I think also Illinois, yeah, the 04-05. Oh, no, they lost one. They went 29-1. Illinois. And
that's great. So how crazy is that, though? Do you understand this statement? New Mexico, the last undefeated men's team this past year, right? They went deep into they went to January 3rd, and college starts in, what, November? So they went, like, 2 months, and they didn't even make the tournament.
Yeah.
Like, they were undefeated. They probably, yeah.
Yeah. Seriously.
Okay. I think that covers March. Let me ask you this. If it's not Alabama, who is it? If it's not a one seed, who is it?
Oh, I already told you. I'm sticking with my pick of UCLA.
Oh, yeah, UCLA.
All right,
but you have UCLA.
They say it's not UCLA. They can say it's not Bama. I think it's going to be Texas. Like, I thought their biggest test would be the first 2 rounds. Well, the second round. Especially not the first one, obviously. They are 2 seed. But I thought that the second round was going to be a bit more difficult. And Penn State ended up beating.
Yeah, Penn State did not come out firing.
Right. I mean, I didn't think they were going to play Penn State. I didn't pick Penn State. I picked.
Okay.
I picked A&M.
Yeah. I didn't have a Penn State.
And in fact.
Yeah, by the way, everyone was riding Texas A&M, and I was like, no.
I had them to the Elite Eight, and I'm like,
yeah, most people did, and I'm the only human being who picked them out of the first round. They were so overrated. It was the most overrated thing I've ever saw in my life.
You know why? Because they literally beat Alabama.
That's it.
But I'm saying that's like.
That's it.
Alabama's the best team in the country.
They got hot. I get it. But you know what's so crazy? Like anything, you're still talking about. You're not talking about professional athletes. You're talking about kids, right? So like at the end of the day, these kids, just, a bunch of they had a bad day in school that day. They went to school. They went to college. They sat within their professor's class, They had a tough day in school that day. Then they had to go to the basketball courts, and in came Texas A&M. I know they don't go to class, but in came Texas A&M. Whatever.
You think
obviously it's not. It doesn't really work that way. Yeah. I get it. It doesn't work that way. But the point is that one game, and then everyone's like, oh. It's same thing with Purdue, bro. Purdue beat a couple teams in a streak of games that were like, wow, Purdue just beat a couple teams. And then, like.
Yeah, they lost to most good teams. Who? Also, they got swept by Northwestern. They lost to us. I think they lost to Indiana. Like. There are good teams in the Big Ten, and they lost to, like, every single one of them.
Yeah. It was just stupid that teams didn't figure out how to play better. You just attack one guy. They have one man who can score for them, and you just have to beat him up.
Yeah.
That's what FDU did. They're like, we're not going to let your guards. We're going to force your guards to do the one thing they don't want to do, which is shoot threes. That's not okay. And then they took the one guy who can actually score, and we're like, no, every time you touch the ball, we're going to just quadruple team you, so get rid of it. Yeah. Oh, pass to the guard who's waiting at the three line because he can't hit that.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. All right. That wraps it up, and we'll let Rocky eventually come back and clean us off. So, Morty, thank you for joining us. We'll have to have you on for sure. More, I know Eitan Lewis is going to be upset that you were on before he was. But it's about time that we had you on. About time.
His bracket.
His bracket? Oh, his bracket's more busted. His bracket
was definitely busted around the, like, first day.
Eitan actually, he said to me prior to this tournament, he did say, he goes, expect a lot of upsets. Teams are trash. These are his words. He's not wrong. He said the obvious.
Yeah, that's not a news that, like, you know, you didn't come up with something there.
Yeah. By the way, the fact is only 11 of the games so far the over hit. Everything has smashed the under. So people suck. The games have been sucking. Yeah, it's been a great tournament because it's March and there's been upsets. But let's just on a scale of one, like 1 to 5, you know, where like the best tournament we've ever had is a 5. This is not a great tournament. This is definitely a 2.5, 3 compared to... Now, it's crazy because we've had some upsets, but, like, if Princeton wins this game, okay, fine. I'll give it a crazy tournament and everything is crazy because then they can beat Alabama.
If Princeton wins the whole tournament, obviously, okay, right? But if they do...
Would
that not be the greatest tournament of all time?
Yes. By the way, do you know, see, you remember the, I don't know, you might remember, I don't, but UCLA-Princeton, the crazy game, anyway, it's all about the backdoor cut from Princeton, and UCLA, it was like a big famous game, it goes down in the history, like if you look up the Princeton backdoor cut game against UCLA, and UCLA just didn't know how to stop the backdoor cut over and over, and Princeton ran it over and over, and people talk about that game to today. So Someone said today on a podcast, they're like, yo, we've been talking about this game for a long time. I went and looked. The final score is 45-42. Like, that's the most famous game in college tournament, you know?
Yeah, but I'm saying there is, you know, a score can end that way because of great defense, but it could also end that way because people are just missing shots and they're playing sloppy and whatever.
I'm going to say it was 10 years ago. There was a championship game. I remember watching it, and the score at halftime was 22-19 at half, and college basketball championship game. And I remember thinking, like, there is no way that this sport is going to allow it. And then I learned that, like, no, that was actually, like, the greatest game ever because people who watch college want defense. So, anyway, we're going to keep saying goodbye until we don't. So,
yeah.
Morty, it's been real. I'll speak to you, and it's been a pleasure.